Good morning, and a very warm welcome to this online service of Strood Gospel Mission Church on Sunday, the 27th of September. Last week, we gave thanks to God for his provision through a harvest service. And I'm grateful to Trevor for providing a variety of harvest songs on the church emails for this morning. A bumper crop indeed. Do take a look at those if you haven't done so already, and make use of them to give your own thanks to God. One thing that we're not doing at present whilst meeting online is taking up an offering. I'm glad to say that you're still continuing to give to church through standing orders and bank transfers and so on. God is still providing for us as individuals and as a church family. But without an offering in our service order, we're not pausing to thank God week by week for his continuing provision. So let's express our thanks now for the material and spiritual blessings we receive by grace as we sing Faithful One.
Yes, one, you're my Lord Jesus, we thank you that you indeed are the hope of our salvation, and that in you, Lord Jesus, we can find rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your sacrifice for us, and for giving everything on that cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you, Mark, for leading us in that song and that prayer. Just looking out of my window at the moment, I think I might need an anchor to keep me attached to the ground today. It's certainly another blustery day. Well, let's turn to some prayers of intercession. This week I've been very aware of friends who are really struggling with their mental health. One has spent some time in hospital. Others are finding that increased isolation and or pressure from being involved in difficult frontline jobs at the moment has greatly increased their anxiety and unease. One recent study has suggested that rates of depression have tripled during lockdown. And yet referrals to mental health services are actually down. Fewer people are going to their GP. And inevitably that means that many are struggling to manage alone. Well, during this next prayer, I'd invite you to join with me in the refrain, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. That refrain should appear on the screen as a prompt at the appropriate moments. But as we turn to prayer now, let's listen to some words of scripture, words of lament, a cry for help from Psalm 22, part of which Jesus used as he suffered on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Forgiving God, we confess that often we have judged those who struggle with mental illness. We've judged because we do not understand. Forgive us for making assumptions. Forgive us for our indifference. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we pray for comfort for those who live with the darkness of depression, we ask that we may be a light in the darkness for them. Teach us to avoid false cheerfulness and instead give us wisdom to know how to help our friends and family who struggle. May they see again your goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and relieve all those who are troubled in mind and spirit. Bring them hope and peace. And despite the added difficulties of the current restrictions, may they find the consolation of a loving community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. grant patience and courage to the families and friends of those who are ill. Increase their perseverance as they face challenges to the recovery of their loved one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you are always near to us, even when it doesn't feel like it. You are near to us, especially when we are weak, suffering, and vulnerable. May we experience the reality of your presence day by day. Lift our burdens, calm our anxieties, and quiet our fears. Surround us with your healing presence, that we may know that we are not alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Healer. Amen. Amen. I'm now going to hand back to Mark for our reading this morning, and then we'll hear from Hales as she brings God's word to us this morning. But first of all, Mark, thank you.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, and it's the account of when Jesus feeds the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We've only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men will it." But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over.
And now, Hales, thank you.
Thank you for reading that for us. So, the feeding of the 5,000. It can be found in all 4 of the Gospels. Slight differences in the writing, but the main gist of the story is the same in the 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark and Luke do not tell us where the fish and loaves came from. It's in John that we learn about where they came from. This has led to many people preaching on the willingness of the boy to give up his lunch so Jesus could make a miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 occurs in a place where there was not enough to eat. There was not many villages to buy food on that side of the lake. People would have been very hungry, they would have travelled far, and that there would have been no food. And then they heard Jesus teach, and no one would have taken time to make a packed lunch. They would have been excited to see Jesus teaching, excited to hear what he was going to say. So they would have left with no food, and there would have been a mass of people that were very hungry. And most people, when they're hungry, are not in the best temperament. Jesus multiplied because of the boy's generosity. The miracle started with the boy. It started with the obedience to Jesus of the boy. He was asked, and so he obeyed. Now, we aren't told of the boy's attitude. We're not told if he did it with a generous heart. But I do believe he'd have been aware of Jesus and in awe of him and happy that this great rabbi had asked him for something. It would have been a great honour, I believe. It could have been that the boy was carrying the food back from market. It could have been that he was taking it home to his mother, and he could have been fearful of what would happen when he got home. What would his mother say? He's arriving home with an empty basket because he gave it to this rabbi. Or he could have been taking lunch to his father. He was fishing on the lake. He could have been taking lunch to the father's workforce. We don't know why he got this food, this amount of food, but he did, and he willingly gave it up to Jesus. Now, Jesus could have used stones. He could have turned stones into bread. You know, he turned water into wine. He could have turned stones into bread. He could use anything, but he specifically asked that boy for the bread. And the boy was obedient to what God asked of him. Noah, in the same vein, he was told by God to build an ark. People laughed at him. They must have thought he was demented. They must have thought there was something so mentally ill with him for building this big ark. But he didn't care, and he did what God wanted. He obeyed the word of God. And we all know the story of what happened there. His obedience allowed God to move in a spectacular way. My first pastor used to say that obedience is a practical acceptance of authority and will of God. By being obedient to him, we're accepting that he is Lord and he has the authority over our lives. Jesus could have used the stones, as I said before, but it needed this boy's obedience to perform the miracle. It pleased the Lord to allow the boy to have a part in this great thing. Even if our contribution is microscopically small in our eyes, it can be used by God to do something spectacular. It's about being obedient of what the Lord wants of us. You may feel like God's asking you for something insignificant. Something as simple as being part of the fellowship team that cleans the church each week ready for the new opening with these new COVID rules. You may feel that it's just a little thing. But what if somebody on that Sunday that we reopen, next Sunday, somebody comes in off the street that is broken, that needs the Lord, that hears the word and is saved, who commits their life to God and their lives are dramatically changed. Without you, with your mop in your hand, without you with your duster, the church wouldn't be open. Your little, insignificant in your eyes, obedience to God has changed someone's life. What if that happened? God wants us to share what we have. It doesn't always mean physical things. It can mean our talents. It can mean our knowledge. It can mean lots of different things. Since moving to Strood, we've been blessed, Nigel, Melody and I, by people of Strood Gospel Mission and of Frinsbury Baptist Church. People have just blessed our socks off. They've been so generous with their time, with their gifts, with their words. It's just been amazing. And that's really helping us settle. That's really helping us feel part of the community, loved, cherished and wanted. So I'd like to thank people for that. And you may think, you know, the phone call you've given me or the card you've dropped in is insignificant and is just a card. To us, it means we're accepted and we're loved, and it means a big, huge thing to us. So never think that what you're doing is insignificant, because it never is. If you are doing it with the right heart and being obedient to the call of God, it's not insignificant. So when I look at how we can apply the feeding of the 5,000 to our church today, we can draw several conclusions. God wants us to share what we have, even though it seems small. God can bless it and make it great if we're obedient to that still small voice of the Spirit that moves and acts in love and kindness. So what is it that God's asking you to do today? Are you listening to that still small voice? It's talked of in 1 Kings 9:12. When God spoke to Elijah, Nothing, no act of obedience or of love and kindness is insignificant and cannot be used by God. Just remember that as you're going on your day-to-day things. Little things that you might think is insignificant. Little thoughts that pop in your head. Oh, I must phone Joan. Oh, I'll just pop this letter in the post. Little things that you find insignificant may make a huge blessing to somebody else and be used by God, just as the loaves and fishes were. Let us pray. Father God, be with us all this day and always. May we always be willing to listen to that still, small voice. We submit our lives, our thoughts and deeds to you, that we may do your will just as that small boy did. We all want to be willing servants of you, and we strive to do this at all times. Sometimes we fail, Lord, and forgive us when we do. May we always be ready to listen to that still, small voice of your Spirit that lives in us all. Bless those that bless us, Lord. We pray for those doing your work with organisations such as BMS and Open Doors. Lord, bless them as they go into dangerous places to do your work. Keep them safe and well as they take the bread of life, which is your word, to those who have not heard and need you, Lord. As they are obedient to your call, may the kingdom grow for your glory and your honour. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope that's blessed you this morning. I look forward to seeing you all next week in church. That will be amazing to actually put some faces to names. I'm really looking forward to that. So, shall we say the words of the grace before we go? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Goodbye.
Well, thank you very much, Hales. It's really good to hear from you and hear that you're settling in well. You'll have heard Hales mention of next Sunday when we have an opportunity, those of us who are able to meet together in the church building. The current plan is, if we're allowed to do so still, that we'll meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. In the church building for a prayer meeting and a brief message, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. We do need to do everything that we can to comply with the regulations and to make these meetings as COVID secure as is possible. So do look out for the detailed information on church emails. Things will be different from what we've experienced before. So do look out for those emails just telling you all that we'll need to do if you are able to join with us next week. For those who are not able to, or indeed if you prefer still to listen to the YouTube service, we will be continuing to do these on a Sunday morning. So from next week you will have a choice on Sunday morning. This week we've also got our regular Thursday gathering on Zoom at 8 p.m. So do join us for that if you can. Well, I'll say goodbye now. Have a good week, whatever you're doing, and may God bless you. Goodbye.